Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Philippians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 4. And it may help to find this piece of paper entitled, Like Paul, Develop the Right Mind Setting. Not long ago, I got a car that had Sirius radio on it. Sirius radio. Any of you listen to Sirius radio? It's a satellite radio system. A lot of you have it. And when I got it, I was very enamored with all of the channel selections. I thought some were very good and helpful. There were Christian messages, Christian teachings. They had lots of news, lots of sports, lots of different kind of music. And I even listened to Doctor Radio. But the guy was giving all these symptoms about back problems, and my back started hurting while I was driving. And the next guy started about stomach problems, and I just had to quit listening to that. I was taking all those symptoms and superimposing them on myself. So I had 30 preset channels. And as I was going through the channels, I said, oh, comedy. Oh, this will be fantastic. I love to laugh. And it wasn't comedy. It wasn't funny. It was filthy. It was absolutely vulgar, perverted filth. And I don't know about you, but I've decided that my ears are not trash cans. Are yours? No. So I didn't preset any of those channels. Because here's the great truth, friends. The great truth is the channels that we pipe into our brain, these voices, this teaching, words, music, comedy, entertainment, even the type of news you listen to, it will impact your attitudes, your actions, your reactions, your relationships. It will impact the decisions that you make, the deeds that you perform. It will impact your destiny on earth and for eternity. That's what the Bible says. As we think in our heart, we become. So let me ask you a really important question. What channels are you listening to? What channels are you listening to right now? You see, you've got a channel selector in your head, and I would urge you to preset it to the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119, how does a person keep their way pure? By keeping it according to the Word of God. Your Word I've hid in my heart so that I may not sin against you. So preset the Word of God. As a matter of fact, Paul put it like this to the Colossians. It's on your worksheet. Look at Colossians 3. If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. That's your setting, not on the things that are on earth. So this is the call of God to put on a new mindset and set your mind on Jesus. Now, let me confess very quickly. In this channel selector, in my mind and in your mind, we have the capacity to switch back and forth pretty quick. One moment we're thinking about God and good, and the next moment we're thinking about dark things of this earth. So that channel selector can switch back and forth. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, it's like a battle for your mind. And we all know what he's talking about, don't we? Yeah, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is peace and life, the Bible says. But what the goal is to win this battle for the mind, this tug of war that goes back and forth. There was a wise grandfather from out west in Montana. He was teaching his grandson about how to live life. And he said, now, grandson, everybody has in their head two wolves. One is good and the other is bad. Now, the bad wolf is evil, and the bad wolf will lead you to have attitudes and actions that are hurtful, mean, bitter, selfish, impure. But then there's this good wolf. And the good wolf will lead you to have attitudes and actions that are kind and good, truthful, serving, unselfish. And these two wolves are always fighting each other. And the little boy said, "Well, Grandfather, which wolf wins?" And Granddad simply said, "The one you feed the most." That's the great truth, the one you feed the most. So let's come now to Philippians 4, and let's feed on and feast upon the Word of God. Let's set our mind upon the Word of God. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your patient spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Let's pray. Oh, Father. Father, thank you for these truths that will transform. And I pray that you'd get me out of the way so that your Spirit could deposit these transforming truths into every receptive heart. And we pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, here's what I want us to do. I have identified in this passage four channels to set your mind on. The first one is be joyful. Be joyful. That's what it says in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know what rejoice in the Lord always means in the Greek? It means rejoice in the Lord always. That's what it means. There's no hidden meaning there. It's just straight up. It's a call to joy. Now, the Bible tells us it's a choice to rejoice. In the same way you get up and select the clothing that you are going to wear, did you know that you can select your attitude? Some of you made wonderful clothing choices today. You look just fantastic. But I wonder what kind of attitudinal choice you made today. You know, you can select an attitude that is sour, bitter, mean, selfish, ugly. And those kind of attitudes drain. Or you can do what God says here and select an attitude of joy, and it will sustain. Do you know why? Look on your worksheet. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord will energize you. It will lift you up. So that's why you should choose that attitude of joy. Now, some of you would probably admit, and I've been there too, that you can live on an emotional roller coaster. Up one day, down the next. Everything is fantastic, peachy keen one day, and the next day you are in the pits. Oh, we all have that capacity to go up and down. Now, what's hard is the people that you live around, they don't appreciate that. They don't know who they're going to get the next day. Do they have to walk on eggshells because you're going to be real touchy and hard to get along with, and you're going to be negative and sour? Or do you have that consistency of maturity? I heard about a lady, and she got a special ring for her birthday. It was a mood ring. And her friends gathered around, and she showed them this mood ring. It was a huge stone. And they said, "Well, Doris, how does it work?" She said, "Oh, it's simple. When I'm in a good mood, the stone turns blue. But when I'm in a bad mood, the stone makes a red mark on my husband's forehead." So that's how a mood ring works. Some of you are like that. up and down. There's a better way. There's a way better way. My daughter-in-law, Catherine Wolf, has a great motto. At age 26, she had a devastating brainstem stroke, but she began to chronicle what she learned. And here's her first learning lesson. She said, "I am too blessed to be bitter." I don't know what you've suffered. Some of you would say, I got a bad attitude, Pastor, because I've had a lot of bad breaks. Have you had a brainstem stroke? Maybe you have. But I can tell you, you need to learn how to count your blessings because you're too blessed to be bitter. Would you make a note here on your outline, Psalm 103? That helps. Psalm 103, the psalmist says, don't focus on your pain, focus on God's gain. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his blessings." What does he bless us with? He's forgiven your sin. He heals your diseases. He pulls you up from the pit of danger and despair. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies you with his good things. Those are the blessings of God. So learn to count your blessings and be a person of joy. Number two, the next channel to set your mind on is to be prayerful. It says in Philippians 4:6, don't be worried about anything, but pray about everything. And then look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17 on your worksheet. It says, pray without ceasing. In other words, you should put your mind on the prayer channel and never turn it off. You know how some people just leave the TV going all day long in their house? Leave the prayer channel on all day long. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Do you know what pray without ceasing means in the Greek language? It means pray without ceasing. That's exactly what it means. No hidden gimmicks here. It just means pray all the time. Pray all the time about everything. And that's what God wants you to do. Some of you are saying right now, "Now wait a minute. The God of the universe, who is keeping the stars spinning and the sun shining, doesn't have time for little old me and my problems." Wrong, wrong. You know what the Bible says? God is very interested in the details of your life. The Bible says that God even has a number for the hair on your head. That's easier for some than others. But the Bible says God has a numbering of every hair. He knows the number. So when you were in the shower this morning and you washed your hair and some hair fell out, well, there goes number 457, God says. There goes 2218. He knows you at that intimate detail. So doesn't it make sense that you should talk to him about everything? Let's say, have any of you ever misplaced your car keys? Like maybe every day. So is it inappropriate to say, "God, would you help me? Help me find my keys." That sounds kind of inane, but it's pretty important when you got to get somewhere. What if you've got an important meeting with somebody? Maybe your kid's doing bad at school and you got to go talk to the teacher. Man, I'd be praying, "God, give me wisdom. God, give me insight." Because you need to have that kind of wisdom to go have that important meeting. Maybe you're meeting with a customer or a client or a boss. Why don't you pray about that? You see, pray about everything. Pray unceasing. That's what the Lord wants you to do. It's funny, I was going to see my buddy Dave Hadaway. He was at the Capitol Hill Rehab this week. And I pulled in, had a visit with Dave, and then I was backing my car out. It's a real tight parking lot over there. And I looked in my rearview mirror right at the moment another lady was backing out and she was about to hit the side of my car. All I had time to do is just pray, "Oh God, stop her." And do you know what happened? Instead of hearing that horrible crunch of metal, I heard the beautiful squeal of brakes. She stopped about an inch away. And I spent the rest of the day doing what? Praising God for what did not happen. You see, God is interested in the details of your life. He wants you to pray about everything. Friends, remember, prayer should not be your last resort. Prayer should be your first report. You know what I've determined? Prayer is not a substitute for action. It's the action for which there is no substitute. Here's what we say around here. Prayer is not part of our strategy. Prayer is the heart of our strategy. We pray about everything, the little things and the big things. Let me tell you a great prayer story. I have a missionary friend named Gordon Fort. He's been here many times to speak to us. I'm a trustee for the International Mission Board, and in our spring meeting, Gordon said that we should all focus, and he gave 80 prayer cards out on the Walgum people. They're way in a hidden corner of South Asia, the Walgum people. And there were no known recorded believers. And unbeknownst to anyone's coordination, some other people that could speak their language, indigenous missionaries, went up into their mountainous remote area in August. This is a group that's had no believers for centuries. They shared the gospel, and 52 people came to Christ and were baptized in 2 days. It's like kingdom touchdown. So what do you do when you walk around praying? Pray for the people around you. You see somebody that's serving you, maybe at a restaurant, or at the dry cleaners, or in the grocery store. Pray for them that they would know Jesus. Pray about everything. Keep that prayer channel on. Number three, the next channel is, after you're joyful and prayerful, be careful. Careful with your thoughtware. Careful with your thoughtware. We all know that a computer has software, and that software can get infected with a virus, which would negatively impact the functioning of that computer. Well, I would suggest to you that your mind has thoughtware, and that thoughtware can get infected with viruses that bubble up straight out of hell. That's where they come from. Very negative, ugly, dark, polluted thoughts. So we learn in verse 8 what we should do to filter our thoughtware. Let's look at verse 8 again. What did it say? All right, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there's anything of excellence worthy of praise, let your mind think on these things. Do you know what your mind is like? It's like the air traffic control tower out at the airport. Now, in this airspace, there will be a lot of planes flying over from Atlanta to Dallas to New Orleans to wherever. There are planes flying that come into Maxwell, but there are only a certain number of planes that are allowed to land at Danley Field, and that is controlled by the air traffic controller. And do you know that your mind has that same capacity? You should be the air traffic controller, because my mind is like yours. There are a lot of thoughts that fly in and out, but don't let just anyone land. Matter of fact, if they're not Christ-honoring thoughts, if they're not thoughts that are true, right, pure, excellent, refuse them permission to land. Mark this scripture down. Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101 says, I will put no vile thing before my eyes. In other words, David is making a covenant with his eyes to guard his eye gate so that he won't watch trash and hurtful things that would pull him away from the things of God. I had a friend that came up to me one day and he said, hey, Jay, I know my wife and I have been watching this wonderful show on Netflix, and I think you would like it. Now, I got to give you a warning label. It has vile, vulgar language. The characters are always cheating and committing adultery. They have a terrible worldview. But if you can get past all that, the characters are really interesting. I was thinking, that'd be a little bit like saying, hey, Jay, you know, why don't you go out to the dumpster and dig through all the trash and the filth and the maggots and the garbage, and maybe you can find an edible biscuit down at the bottom of the dumpster. Would you do that? Of course not. So what do? You make a covenant with your eyes. You avoid the trash. I was talking recently with a mom that has raised two fantastic young men. And years ago, she discovered an app called Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes. You ought to be writing this down if you're a parent. Covenant Eyes is this app, and you can get and put it on your kids' computers or their devices and your devices or your husband's or your wife's devices, and it lets you see all the websites that they're going to look at, every one. So this brilliant, wise, Christ-centered mother agreed with her teenage sons that they would have covenant eyes, so that mom is going to look at everything they look at. And those two young men have become stellars, stars for Christ, because there was an accountability dimension. They made a contract with the Lord about what they would look at. They would set no vile thing before their eyes. So that's very wise. And I would urge you to enact those same sort of truths. Be careful what you focus on. And then lastly, be peaceful. Be peaceful. That's what we hear in verses 11 through 13. Paul said he had discovered how to be contented and peaceful regardless of the circumstance. Remember, Paul is not writing from a palace. He is writing from a prison. And his peace and contentment is not linked to his circumstances. It's linked to Christ. That's why he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think Paul's theme song was all is well. All is well. Somebody said, Paul, you're in prison and it's not fair. He would just say, all is well. Paul, you've been beaten and shipwrecked for the cause of Christ. He would say, all is well. Paul, you're going to Rome and you're probably going to be executed by Caesar for preaching the gospel. I could hear him say again, all is well. All is well. Can you say that? Maybe some of you have received a bad medical report because you can do all things in Christ. Can you say all is well? Maybe some of you got a kid that's off course and breaking your heart, but you know, one day you and your family, you're going to serve the Lord together, so you can say all is well. Maybe you've lost a loved one or lost a job or lost a dream. Can you say all is well? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, we're nearly finished, but let me tell you the story of Horatio Spafford. He was a Chicago lawyer. In 1872, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship across the Atlantic to go to London. He was going to meet them later. It was terribly foggy, and the ship collided with another ship. 220 people died, including Horatio Spafford's four daughters. His wife survived, sent him a telegram from London that said, I survived, but we've lost our daughters. He got on a ship and he was making his way across the Atlantic. And the captain, knowing the circumstance, pointed out the very spot where his daughters drowned. Horatio Spafford took out a piece of paper and a pen and he wrote down these words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. You can only do that if you know that Christ is your provider and he's bigger than your problem. Well, lastly, let's sum it up. To stay joyful, prayerful, careful, and peaceful, here's what you got to do. You got to develop the key, and that's your Jesus mindset. That's the key to it all. Your Jesus mindset. That's the shorthand. Back to Colossians. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's what Paul Azinger did. A last thought. Paul Azinger was a professional golfer. He had won all kind of tournaments, a PGA professional championship. And at age 33, he was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer. Listen to what he wrote. Paul Azinger said, I was gripped by a terrible sense of fear. I could die from this cancer. Everything I had accomplished in golf became meaningless. All I wanted to do was live. A pastor friend of mine named Larry Moody came to me and he said, let's get your mind set right, Paul. Listen to this. We are not in the land of the living, going to the land of the dying. We are in the land of the dying, going to the land of the living. Paul recovered from that cancer, went on to the PGA Tour, won a lot more tournaments and a lot more money. And here's how he put it. He said, all of my victories are temporary. He said, here is the great truth. He said, you will only find through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ the contentment and the peace that you're looking for. Most golfers are looking for the answer to the 6-foot putt. He said, I found the answer to the 6-foot hole called the grave, and that answer is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, this is our goal, to make our mind set upon you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.